Kiddos, come on down. Y'all got to pray for my voice today.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know what that means? That don't mean I've been sick. That means I've been preaching.
Yes.
Amen. Come on down. Come on down. Which one of y'all want to pray? All right.
Thank you for this day. Thank you for every day. And thank you for this everything. Amen.
Praise God. Y'all follow Miss Judy. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, usually I get to minister on Tuesdays. Then I get to minister here on Thursday nights. And then after we got done ministering here on Thursday nights, me and my wife, we headed toward Amarillo and drove till about midnight. Stopped, got a hotel room, got up, took off the rest of the way. And then I did some work in Amarillo while I was up there, and it was really kind of neat. Just for those of y'all that don't know it, I used to have an insurance agency. And the Lord woke me up one night at 12:01 a.m. about 10 years ago. Reggie and Renata remember this. And he told me, he said, go now. And I knew exactly what he meant. He said, shut down the doors. It was time to start going and preaching the gospel full time. So anyway, to make a long story short, for the last 10 years, that's what I'd done. I'd been preaching the gospel. That's what I do. And the money that I made in the insurance business, that's what allowed me to do it. So here a while back, a few months ago, I decided I was going to open up an insurance agency again. And man, I seen in the insurance business, I seen as many people come to Jesus as I see preaching. I mean, we used to get messages at our office of where I'd be in talking to people and lead them to the Lord and pray over them. And they'd call and leave their messages and going back to the hospital and getting checked out, brain cancer gone, lung cancer gone, neuropathy gone. I seen all of these things happen, you know. So one night I was laying in bed, and when I decided to open an insurance agency back up, I prayed to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm going to ask you, Samson, if y'all remember the stories of Samson, Samson was a man who had great strength by God. And Samson was a man that, if you remember, he killed 3,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. If you remember, Samson was a man that ripped the gates off the city. He was a powerful man. And then Samson was a man that, after he had made a few mistakes, he went in and he was in the Philistines' temple and they had him chained to the columns. And he said, Lord, let your power come upon me one more time. And that power come upon him one more time, and he pushed those columns down. Amen. And it wiped out the Philistines and Dagon, where their God was. So one night I was in bed, and I was praying. I said, Lord, if this is you telling me to do this, I said, give me the strength to do it one more time. In other words, open up an inch. I said, let it be like Samson. Give me the strength to do it one more time. I said, allow me to step in like I never stepped out. Amen. So I went out as we left here, because I was preaching in prison on Saturday, and I said, well, I might as well go up there and do some work. And so I had some appointments up there, and I had 5 clients up there. And as I walked into these clients' house, I know the Spirit of God went ahead of me, because it was like I never stepped out. I ain't talked to somebody about insurance in 10 years, but that's not the amazing part. The amazing part's not that the Lord allowed me to pick up all the clients, amen? But the amazing part was, as I walked into a house, and I was sitting there as I went into these houses, and one of the ladies' names was Lena Brown. And I walk into her house, and as we're sitting there talking, all of a sudden I just looked at her, and I said, can I pray with you? And she said, would you please? And I reached over, and I grabbed her by the hands, and I felt the Holy Ghost just enter into that house. Woo! And I started praying, and this old Baptist gal got up and started dancing. She started dancing, amen? Started dancing, and she was sitting there going, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, she's about to get baptized in the Holy Ghost right now. And all of a sudden, I'm praying, and all of a sudden, she reaches over and puts me in a headlock. She grabs me and hugs me on the head, and then she starts praying, amen, and the power of God. And we sat there, and we had revival right there in that house. I went to the next lady's house as I'm sitting there talking to her, and she looks at me, and she goes, you know what? She goes, my daughter, my husband was a chiropractor here in town, and she said my daughter was a drug addict, and I knew right then. I said, stop right here. I said, let's pray for your daughter, amen? And all of a sudden, this woman who was very, very, you could tell she was a very, very, I got it together woman, you know what I'm saying? Very, very, the power of God fills that room. And this lady who's sitting there, her husband's a chiropractor, she was very, very professional, very, very, you know, them people that are just very, very, you know, just very well, got everything together, makeup perfect. I mean, she was 82 years old, makeup perfect, dressed perfect, didn't take a prescription one, healthy as a horse. And then all of a sudden, you could tell that maybe her emotional side wasn't something that she let out. And all of a sudden, I reached over and grabbed her and started praying for her. And the Holy Ghost shows up in that room. And when I look at her, the makeup's running down her face, praying for her daughter and seeing the Holy Ghost move in that way. Amen. I got out of them houses and I said, God, that's God. That's God. That is God right there. Amen. And it was awesome to see that happen. Praise God. We went into a prison on Saturday morning. And we was ministering to the G4s. And a G4... what that is that's one step away from being put in solitary, all right? Now, I don't know if you know what solitary is, solitary confinement. That means that you locked up 23 hours a day, and you might get to go outside 1 hour a day. So the G4s, they're the ones that are right before that. These are the knuckleheads. These are the ones that can't play right with other kids, amen? These are the ones that can't be out in, they're locked up, I think they're locked up 21 hours a day in their cell, amen? I think they get 4 hours a day. Is that right, Cody, the G4s? I know you work in the prison, amen? So, and these are the guys that can't play right. And they come in there, and as we start ministering the gospel to them, and you see the gospel go forth, you see the hardness of the heart, you see the hearts, you see the expressions on the faces start changing. You see the power of God moving. You're seeing the hearts be broken. And you're seeing these all of a sudden, these guys that got tattoos all the way up to their eyeballs. And you see the power of God start moving, and you see the walls coming down, and you see the conviction setting in on the heart. And then when you ask them, say, would you like to know about this Jesus that I'm telling you about? And the hands go up, and the hands go up, and the hands go up. After Saturday morning, we were supposed to be home yesterday evening, but they invited us to come back and do the inmate service last night. And the inmate service is an inmate-led service. And so we went in and ministered, and there was about 200 inmates in there. And I was sitting there, and they wanted me to do communion and the message. So as I did communion, I'm watching these men as they come down, and they would do the communion, and the communion was set up over here on this side, and the stage was like this, and the communion being set up over here. And then they would get their communion, they would get their sacraments, and then they would walk down. And I was sitting there, and I was watching these people. And especially, and I don't have nothing against the Catholic people. I don't have nothing against the Catholic religion, except if you're praying to Mary, you need to get saved. That's all I got to say about that, amen? Not trying to be rude, not trying to be anyway. That's just how it is. And I would watch them, and the honor and the respect that they had for these sacraments. And as I was sitting there watching them, and they would walk down to the, and I'm not saying communion, yes, communion is a serious thing, and they would walk down to the altar, and they would take this little grape juice, and they would hold it up, and they'd take the bread, or they'd take the bread, and they'd hold it up first, and they'd pray, and then they'd take this grape juice, and they'd hold it up, and they'd pray. And the Lord just spoke to my heart. And he said, ask them if they hold me up at other times the same way they're holding this up right now. So last night, man, I went in there, and that was what I'd preached on. And I'd preached that, and these men last night coming down that had been raised in Catholic church that thought that their relationship with God was nothing more than eating a piece of bread and drinking a little bit of grape juice and wearing a rosary bead around your neck that you rub on every now and then in order to bring you some good luck. And when I started ministering to them about Mary, the Bible doesn't say that you can get to God by Mary, but the only way that you can get to the Father is through Jesus Christ, by the Son. He is the only way. And I ministered about praying to Mary that is idolatry, breaking the first and second commandment of Almighty God. And as I sat there and ministered that, I sat there and I watched these Catholic men that are sitting around, and they start grabbing their rosary beads, and they start putting them inside their shirts. Yeah. Some of them take them off. Some of them lay them down. And as I'm sitting there ministering this, these men, they come down to the altar at the end. And they said, I've never heard it preached that way. I thought just because I come down and because I did communion, I thought that made me acceptable in God's eyes. I thought because I went to confession, that made me acceptable in God's eyes. And these men coming down and praying and crying out and saying, I don't know this God that you was just telling me about. Out of that service just there, we've seen about 50 men out of 200 come down and say, I need this Jesus that you're talking about. Amen. Sean showed up, got there right when service was starting last night, and he stayed and preached the Sunday morning service this morning. So by the time me and my wife left, it was about 9:30, and we made it about halfway back home last night. Got back up, finished it out this morning. I called Chris. I said, I'm on my way. I said, y'all go on ahead. So I dropped Clover off at the house, and she ought to be walking in about any time. Amen. If she ain't, if she don't come walking in, she set me up. Amen. So that's why my voice is a little bit hoarse. I remember one time when we was in Africa, and I know Tony and Roberta will remember this because they was there with us. And we had preached, I know I preached about 3 services a day for about 7 days, 8 days in a row, wasn't it? I don't know if y'all remember this or not, but that last service, my voice was gone. It was completely gone. I mean, it wasn't even like it is now. And I had the microphone, the little old microphone that they had. And as I was sitting there talking, whispering into the microphone, wah, 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 wah. That was about as loud as I could get. Then guess what? All the electricity in the building went out. Microphones quit working and everything. This was a church probably, there was probably, I don't know, 400 people in it. And as I'm sitting there ministering, and the reason the electricity went out is because they just had it plugged up to a little generator outside. Carrying everything. I don't know if it ran out of gas, if it broke down or what happened. But the generator quit working. So the only thing I could do was tell the guy that was standing next to me. I told him to tell them to start praying. They reached their hands out toward me and started praying. Man, this whole church was praying. I don't know if y'all remember this or not. But as I was sitting there speaking, my voice started coming back stronger. And I was able to preach that service to about 300 people without using a microphone louder than I've ever preached it before. Amen. Well, I'm believing God that he's going to do it again. Praise God. Let's stand up for the reading of the word. I'm going to talk to you a little bit today, and I'm going to talk to you today about the same thing that I talked to the prisoners about last night. And the reason that I'm going to talk to you about that, and I'm not going to pick up where we left off Thursday night, is because I've been gone and I hadn't had time to fully prepare what I want to talk about. So I'm going to talk to you about this and what I prepared for them, and I'm going to talk to you about this called the discipline of God. Let me read this to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll start out in verse 31. It says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Now, Father God, I'm asking you right now in the name of Jesus Christ that as I stand here and minister your gospel, your word, I'm asking, Father God, right now that your spirit would minister through me. I'm asking, Father God, that it not be any words of my own. I'm asking, Father God, that the words that I use be chosen wisely. Anything that is of me would fall to the ground, not making it past this pulpit, but only that which is breathed upon by you, that is anointed by the spirit of life, would go forth and accomplish exactly what you sent it to do, not returning unto you void. I thank you, Father God. I bind any works, any distractions, any works of the enemy. I bind your work in the name of Jesus, and I loose the kingdom of heaven in Jesus' name. That, Father God, that your word will go forth in power and authority. Deaf ears will be open, blind eyes will be open, and hearts will be transformed by the power of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen and amen. So as I was reading this, and y'all have heard me quote this many, many times, it says that if we allow, and I've said it many times, that if we allow the Word of God to judge us while we're on earth, then we won't have to be concerned about being judged by the Word when we stand before God in heaven. Amen? Now, the Word of God tells us right here, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. It says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. The Bible tells us very, very clearly that we are to examine ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith. So what does this mean to judge ourselves? Because as Christians, well, really, I'm going to say this. I don't believe that a true Christian that's got a true understanding of the meaning of the Word of God walks around saying, judge not, lest thou shalt be judged. Amen? Because number one, a person that walks around and saying that ain't read the rest of that verse. And you probably ain't even read that verse. You just heard somebody else saying it and it sounded good. Amen? Because when you read the rest of that in the book of Matthew, it will tear you up. Amen? So we love to walk around and say that, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Amen? And I know this ain't real popular. Amen? Because I know amongst most people, the Word of God is not real popular in our life. Because the Word of God is going to do something. And when we are truly studying the Word of God, and we're truly in the Word of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, will never feed your flesh. The Word of God does not feed your desires. The Word of God does not feed your flesh. The Word of God will crucify your flesh and crucify your desires. The Word of God will look into our hearts and expose the wickedness that dwells within the heart of man. The Word of God will expose our rebellion against God. The Word of God, yes, it'll also uncover Christ in us. It'll also reveal Christ in us. Amen? But the Word of God is a double-edged sword, not a one-edged sword. The Word of God will expose Christ that lives in the Christian, but it will also expose the evil in the heart so we can submit that to the Christ that lives in us, and the Christ that lives in us can get out of us what is not pleasing to God. It's a double-edged sword. And many of us do not spend any time in the Word of God. And since we do not spend any time in the Word of God, our Christian walk has been nothing more than a confession rather than a relationship. So when you do not spend any time in God's Word, and when you do not spend any time in prayer, and when a person does not spend any time growing in the ways of God, then somebody like me is going to seem like a fanatic to somebody like that. Somebody like me that desires to honor God, somebody, and I'm just using me as an example, it can be Ronnie, it can be Rick, it can be Sharon, it can be my kids, it can be whoever. But somebody that spends time in the Word of God, somebody that studies the Word of God, somebody that seeks the face of God, somebody that knows the Word of God, and somebody that has an understanding of the Word of God and how to apply it to one's life, that person is going to seem like an over-judgmental fanatic to a person that has no desire to know God's ways. That person is going to seem like an over-judgmental fanatic to a Christian that only wants to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? So when we look at this, it says, for if we would judge ourselves, what does that mean? We love to walk around and say, judge not. Yet when the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says that if our brothers, if they're Christians, if you call yourself a Christian, I'm going to ask you this, how many people in here call yourself a Christian? You like, yes, I don't know if I want to say that right now or not. Well, put your hand up too quick because it's going to go from here. You're going to look like a T-Rex in a minute. Because if we call ourselves a Christian, according to the Word of God, according to the book of Timothy, the Word of God has been given for four reasons. What are the four reasons? And I'm talking about in Timothy what it says. It says for instruction, correction, rebuke, and exhortation. Amen? The Word of God is given in order to correct the things in my life that don't line up with God. The Word of God is given in order to instruct me on the path that I should be on in order to follow God's ways. The Word of God is given to rebuke me when I'm not living the way that God would have me to live. And the Word of God is given to exhort me to build me up when I recognize those other things. Amen? Does that make sense? So what you and I have got to understand, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that if we call ourselves a Christian, then the Word of God judges us. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If we call ourselves Christians, and let me tell you something else, that means that your fellow brother in the body has got a right to judge your actions. Amen? He's got a right. In other words, if somebody among, see, and this is what we don't like. Because we just want to walk around and we want to be called a Christian. And we think that a Christian is tiptoeing through the tulips all the time. And everything's just wonderful and everything's just happy. And everybody's going to love me and everybody's going to kiss me. And ain't no, being a Christian means this. That you're living for God, but in the process of living for God, you're dying at the same time. Amen? And what does it mean to be dying at the same time? That I'm dying to my own desires, I'm dying to my own will, I'm dying to my flesh, I'm dying to my own wants in order that I may decrease, in order that he may increase. Amen. Amen. And there's many of us that call ourselves Christians, but we ain't read the Word of God in 6 months. Many of us call ourselves Christians, we don't even darken the doors of a church. Many of us call ourselves Christian, we ain't spent over 5 minutes in prayer in the last 3 months combined. Come on now. Many of us call ourselves Christians. The only time we want to use a Christian word is when we say, judge not, lest thou shalt be judged. And have absolutely, I love it when somebody says that to me. Please say that to me, because you're about to get saved. Because we finna go to Matthew School 101. Please, I'll be in the lobby afterwards. Because if I call myself a Christian, what that means is I've surrendered myself to the Word of God where it has the right to judge me. And if I call myself a Christian, and if God has put in the body of Christ, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, for what? For the equipping of the saints. Then that means that God has put people in the body that got a greater understanding of the Word of God than what I have, and they can bring the Word of God in love in order to knock the things off my life that are not lining up with God's Word. So let me ask you this, and I say this many, many times, and you'll hear me say it many times. We have absolutely no problem. How many of you have been to a funeral? How many of you ever been to a funeral? And every funeral you've been to, you've heard the preacher say, well, old so-and-so's in a better place now. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. How many of you ever been to a funeral where he said, oh, so-and-so's burning in hell right now? You go to one of my funerals, you might hear that. Amen. Now, I know you say that's being judgmental. How come if I say somebody's burning in hell, you call that judgmental, but if they say they're in heaven, you don't call that judgmental? They're both a judgment call. Am I right or am I wrong? The only thing is we've got so politically correct in our life today that we want to only hear good things, and we don't want anything to come against the things that might cause me to lay down the things that brings my flesh a little bit of joy. Amen? So it says that I'm to allow the Word of God to judge me. It says, for if we would judge ourselves, what does it mean to judge ourselves? See, many of us are not even going to know what it means to judge ourselves if we don't get into the Word of God. See, look, many people call themselves Christians that are living in fornication and adultery, shacking up with somebody they're not married to. Okay? Shacking up with somebody they're not married to. In today's society, fornication, adultery, that's accepted in most churches. Homosexuality is being accepted in many churches. Transgender, you got denominations now where you got transgender preachers standing behind the pulpit. It's acceptable. Why? Because they do not allow the Word of God to judge their lifestyle. They take the Word of God, the parts of it that they like, and they chew it. It's like they're going through a buffet line. I'll have some of that. I'll have some of that. Ooh, that's really good. Don't give me that. I don't like that. Give me some of that. Give me some dessert, but I don't want that. That's how we read the Word of God. Ooh, I like that. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. Oh, the righteous may fall 7 times, but they get up every time. Thou shalt not fornicate. Oh, don't give me none of that. I'll take some of this, though. Amen. And what it is the proof that we're not Christians is what it means to allow the Word of God to judge me, is when I look into the Word of God, and if it says a fornicator, a homosexual, a liar, a drunkard shall not inherit the kingdom of God, then that has just judged my action. That has just judged me as saying, that's wrong. That's not pleasing to God. That's not pleasing to God. What about our heart? How do we allow the Word of God to judge us? What if we got ought against our brethren? What if we got ought against somebody? Okay? You may be in here and you got ought against somebody. And listen, the Word of God doesn't say if you got ought against somebody, go to pastor and have pastor to go talk to him for you. The Word of God tells you, you go to that person and you settle it first. And then if it don't get worked out, then you take somebody with you. That's letting the Word of God judge me. You got ought against somebody? You mad at somebody? You upset at somebody? It is a biblical command. See, the Word of God has just judged your actions. Wait a minute. I'm mad at Ronnie over here. I'm mad at Ronnie. Here's what I need to do, Rick. I want you to go, no. No, 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 no. The Word of God has just judged the ought in your heart. So I look at that and I say, okay, the Word of God has judged me. Here is the purpose that God does it this way. He says that if you do it that way, and we'll come, listen, don't go to stupid people. Because some people are dumb enough that they want dumb advice. So they're going to go to somebody to tell them what they want to hear that makes it easy on them, because the easy thing to do is to avoid the situation. The easy thing to do is to avoid what's going on. And then I'm going to go to somebody that has absolutely no spiritual maturity whatsoever and say, can you tell me what I should do? And I guarantee you their advice is not going to line up with the Word of God. And since that advice don't line up with the Word of God, it's easy on you. Why is it easy on you? Because the intent of your heart has not been judged by the Word of God, but it's been okayed by a man. So somebody sits here and gives you some dumb advice. When the Word of God says you got ought in your heart, it says leave your offering at the altar. It says now you go to that person. You go. I got to allow the Word of God to judge me. It's kind of like this when I'm driving down the road, 65 into 55. Listen, and I see that sign. See, when that cop pulls me over and he gives me that ticket, I've been judged. I've been judged. So how many of you, when you get a speeding ticket, I want you to try this. When a cop pulls you over for doing 65 into 55 and you roll down the window, look at him and go, judge not lest thou shalt be judged. Stupid. But yet that's how we look at God's word. He's got 10 signs that say, turn around, stop. Don't go that way. And then we say, judge not. So your job is if you got ought in your heart, not to go to somebody else and talk about it. Not to go to somebody else so you can get on the bandwagon here and get everything figured out about how bad this circumstance is going to turn out if you don't do something about it. Your job is this. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. Why does the enemy want you to do that? Because that way he can keep division between the body of Christ. And you've fallen right into his plan. Why? Because we're not allowing the Word of God to judge our actions. So what do I got to do? I got to go to the Word of God. And the Word of God says, don't go to Jacoby, don't go to you, don't go to Joe, don't go to Reggie, don't go to Cheryl, don't go to Diane, don't go to Lloyd about the problem. It says, if you got ought, leave your off and go to the person. And then it says, and if you do that and they hear you, you have won a brother. See, this is why God says to do it this way, so that the unity in the body of Christ can be kept together. But it says, if they don't listen to you still, then it doesn't say that you go and talk to somebody else. It says you go get two or three and go back. And go back. What about unforgiveness in our heart? What about sexual fornication? Are you allowing the Word of God to judge that in your heart? What about unforgiveness? The Bible tells us very, very clearly. It says, how do you expect your Father in heaven to forgive you if you don't forgive others? So if you are angry at somebody, the Word of God has already judged that action. It's already judged it. Now, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to accept the judgment of God just like you'd accept the ticket when a police officer gives it to you? Because if you don't pay the ticket, there's going to be a warrant put out. There's going to be consequences. Now let's look. It says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. What does the Bible say? It says that if I do not forgive others, how do I expect my Father in heaven to forgive me? So now, what does that mean? He's saying that if I will allow the Word of God to judge me, to judge my actions, and to judge my lifestyle while I'm still on earth, then I'm not going to have to be judged by God on the day of judgment. Because there's many people. Come on up here front, babe. I know you're trying to sneak in. Come on. I told you my wife would make it. I didn't have no doubt. I didn't have no doubt. Then our brother Chris. Good. So the Word of God, if I will allow the Word of God to judge me, what does that mean? That if I call myself a Christian, if I call myself a believer, then my job is to get into the Word of God, and I am to read and study God's Word and allow it to judge my heart and my actions. So if I call myself a believer and I'm living in fornication, I'm living in adultery, I'm living in lying, whatever it is. See, many of us don't even know what the Word of God says about these things because we don't spend any time in God's Word. But if I'll look into the Word of God and I'll say, this is what God says, just like when I look at a speed limit sign and when it says 55, I slow down to 55 and I don't have to worry about being judged by the police officer on the other side. Amen. And if I'm looking through the Word of God and allow the Word of God to judge my life and to judge my actions and quit trying to come up with hypothetical events and my own theories and my own ideas, if I will allow the Word of God to judge me, if it says stop this, don't do this, do this, do that, if I will apply that into my life, then I don't have to worry about judgment day. I don't have to worry about being judged on the day of judgment. Because when I get to heaven, there's going to be one or two things that people hear. Either we're going to hear, apart from me, for I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Those are the ones that did not allow the Word of God to judge them. Or I'm going to hear this, job well done, good and faithful servant. He says good and faithful servant. What is a servant? A servant that is a slave to somebody that does what they say. See, there's many people that profess to be Christians, but they don't do what Christ say. Why? Because you're not bound to him. You're not bound to him. You're not bound to him. And there's many people that are sitting inside the walls of the church. There's many people that are professing to be Christians. They ain't darkened the pages of their Bible in 6 months. They live according to their own lifestyle, according to their own rules, according to their own ways. And they've got this idea in their mind that this is what being a Christian is. And they're going to stand before God one day on the day of judgment. And they're going to use that, Lord, Lord, I prophesied your name. There's people call themselves Christians and don't even prophesy in his name. These people that wasn't Christian were doing more works for the Lord than most people in church that call themselves Christians. Come on now. Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Lord, Lord, did I not cast out demons in your name? Lord, Lord, did I not do many marvelous works in your name? Lord, Lord, I didn't drink, I didn't dip, I didn't chew, I didn't hang out with those who do. Lord, I was raised in church. Lord, I went to Sunday school. Lord, I was baptized. Lord, I took communion every time they had communion. And he says, apart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Why? What is iniquity? Sin. Not allowing the Word of God to get on the inside of me and uproot the things that need to be uprooted. Amen? And then he says, listen. He says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord. Dude, what? What? See, that just jacks spoke up nowadays. That means when we are judged, that is the Holy Ghost slapping the tar out of you. And that's the problem with the church today. Many of us, when we're judged, we think it's condemnation rather than conviction. We don't know the difference. Because we've sat here and we've heard preachers say this from behind the pulpit, well, it's not my job to point. We got this. I ain't even going to call him a preacher, but I ain't going to call him a name either. Of one of the biggest churches there is. What is it? One out of Australia that's up here in America somewhere. I don't even know the name of it. And this unholy ghost-filled, spineless man of God that is supposed to be leading people into battle sits there, and the question is asked, do you think abortion is a sin? And this is what he said. Well, that's not my job. Here's what I like to do. I like to get to know the person and where they're from first. I don't got to know you to know that if you're fornicating, that's a sin. I don't got to get to know you to know if you're a drug addict, it's a sin. I don't got to get to know you to know that. And you know what is amazing to me? Our bipolar law enforcement, or whatever it is that is sitting here, and I thank God for the man that we got in office now. Amen? But you know what? Our bipolar, whatever it is, the people that make the rules, Planned Parenthood, that says it's okay to kill an unborn baby, but if I was to walk up to a pregnant woman and kill her, then I'd be charged with two homicides. I don't have a college education, but you got to be taught how to be that stupid. It costs a lot of money to get yourself that brainwashed. Amen? So it says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Wow. In other words, when the word of God judges my actions, or if I'm not spending any time in the word of God, and somebody comes and brings the word of God that judges my actions, what does the Bible say is happening? We're being chastened by God. It didn't say you're being chastened by Pastor Kevin. It says you're being chastened by God. Because the only thing Pastor Kevin does is what the Word of God says. I know you may not like the delivery. I know you wouldn't spoken. We all use that excuse. We wouldn't spoken in love. It's been spoken to you so many different times. Amen. It's been spoken in love. It's been spoken soft. It's been spoken loud. It's been spoken quietly. The Holy Ghost has spoken. The problem is you don't want to receive what's being spoken. Amen. That's the problem. It's not that you can't. It's that you won't. With the body, with many people, amen? So it says that if we will allow the Lord to correct us, now check this out. But when we are judged, we are chastened by God. When the Word of God corrects me, when correction is brought into my life, when my actions is judged, when my lifestyle is judged, when my sin is judged, who's doing it? God. Amen? And then he says, now why does he do it? The next word is that. In other words, he judges us for a reason. Why does he do it? That we should not be condemned with the world. What is God saying here? You ought to thank God that he has sent some people into your life that got a Holy Ghost backbone that are willing to tell you what needs to be said. Amen. He says that but when we are judged, it is God chastening us, it is the Lord correcting us. Why is he correcting us? So that we're not condemned with the world. What does that word condemned mean? Separated from him. That we're not condemned with. Why does God bring that correction? Why does God put people in your life that are willing to say to you what nobody else has said to you? Why does God put people in your life that are willing to say to you what nobody else is willing to? And many of us, you know what we're going to do? We're going to run as far away from that person as we can get. Oh, Pastor Kevin, he just don't understand. Pastor Kevin, he just so, you know, I just need somebody speaking to me. It's been speaking to you nice. You went right back to the dope. You went right back to the women. You went right back to this. Come on, grow up. Put your big boy pants on. It's time to get out of the pull-ups. Amen. It's time to grow. Because I'm going to tell you something. Until you learn to take correction, you're never going to be able to resist the temptation that knocks on your door when you're out there in the world. Never. Until you're able to go and talk to somebody eye to eye like the Word of God says, you ain't going to be able to resist the enemy when he comes and looks at you right in the eye. Does that make sense? Amen? We must understand this. Why? If I will allow the Word of God to judge me, why is God doing this? So I'm not condemned with the world. So I'm not condemned with the world. There's a lot of folk that sit in the church house. A lot of folk come to the building. I hate to say this, but I'm saying this, but I'm saying all around the world, that you know what? A lot of folks sitting in the building call themselves Christian, but their place in hell is just going to be as hot as the rankest sinner you've ever known in your life. Amen? Let's go to Hebrews. I'm going to finish up in Hebrews. I'm going to hit it quick. Hebrews chapter 12, starting out in verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. He says, my son. Now look, he says, it speaks to you as sons. Speaks to you as sons. Either you're a child of God or a child of the devil, John chapter 8, but you ain't both. Okay? It says, now listen. It says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons? In other words, the exhortation, the building up. See, today, we are so weak-minded because of the society that we grow up in that when somebody comes and corrects us with the Word of God, we call it condemnation rather than exhortation. So what ends up happening? We don't know the difference between conviction and condemnation. So when the Word of God is brought and judges your actions, then what do? We retreat behind the weakness of spirit. We retreat behind the flesh. And then we rebuke the devil for condemning us because we're so shallow in the Word of God that we don't even realize it's not the devil condemning us, but it's the Holy Ghost convicting us. And since I don't like the conviction, what do I start doing? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. They look at it as guilt and shame. Instead of the Word of God coming to judge an action in order to get you out of that and it exhorts you above it where you don't keep falling back into it. Does that make sense? Amen? Now let's look here. Let's see what the Word of God says. It says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. Thank God that God speaks to me like a son. And there's so many of us in the society today that we've allowed the schools to where, I remember when I was a kid. Can I preach y'all for a little bit? I remember when I was a kid, my mom tore my hiney up. I had one of them big old belt buckles that you could eat dinner on back in the day like that, you know. And mom would take my own belt and whoop you with your own belt. You remember that, Ronnie? And she'd start jumping up and down, and I'm going to hit you till you cry. But I remember one day she was whipping me, boy, she was just tearing me up. And when she hit me, bow, boy, across my butt, that belt buckle flew out of her hand and wrapped around, hit me in the eye, bam. She didn't do it on purpose. Laid my eye open, bleeding, black, swollen. I went to school the next day, had butterfly band-aids on it. They're like, what happened to you? I said, Mama whooped me. They said, you ought to learn to act right then, boy. You do that today, there'd be 26 ATF agents at school. Kids today. Kids are trained at the school that tell their parents, if you whoop me, I'm going to call CPS. It's going to take them 2 days to get there. 2 days. And what we've done is we've created a society that works in fear. Now, I'm saying there's a correct way to whip your children. I ain't saying my eye being busted open was right, but I also know this. Mom didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident. If I would have quit fighting her and I wouldn't have been sitting there squirming around and dancing like an Indian doing a rain dance, it probably wouldn't have happened. Amen. All right, let's get back on track. He says, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Now, he's saying, my son. He's talking to a son. He's talking to a blood-bought child. He's talking to somebody that has been sealed by the Holy Ghost. And what is he saying? He's saying, do not despise, do not reject, do not neglect the correction of God. Now watch. He says, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. What? Most of us get a rebuke, we want to leave church. Pastor Kevin did, Pastor Kevin, Sister Cheryl did, Brother Ronnie did, wasn't in love. God, I get so tired of hearing that. He just don't. No, I understand just fine. I understand that I don't need to feed the feelings. I understand we need to get on down to the point. We need to get the double-edged sword of the Word of God out. We need to go to work. We need to uproot this issue, cut it at the root, let it die so you can go on with life and quit having this same problem that you've been having for 50 years. I understand that just fine. What's the problem? All right. It says, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. It says when the Word of God comes into our life and rebukes us, whether it's through the Word or whether it's by a man, he says, you're not to be discouraged. You're not to be walking around going, oh, nobody understands, nobody loves me, nobody cares. You ought to thank God that there's somebody that cares enough that's willing to rebuke your actions. We're to be thanking God for that. Lord, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I didn't recognize that was going on in my life. I didn't recognize my heart was that hard toward that situation. But I thank you, Lord, that you didn't cheat, treat me as a bastard. I thank you, God, that you treated me as a son. And you come to me like a good daddy. And you corrected me. And you straightened me up. And you spanked me. And you rebuked me. Continue doing the work in my life. Because you know why? That is God finishing the work that he has started. Many of us get born again and saved. We don't let him do no work. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Where are we at up there? Are y'all in the same place I am? Come on now. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And scourges every son. Wait a minute, I think y'all ahead of me now. Come on down to verse, here we go. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. What? For whom the Lord loves, he wears out. For whom the Lord loves, he slaps. He rebukes. He whips. He scourges. He beats. See, that's what's wrong with our society today. See, because we've raised children under the fear of these stupid guidelines that if you speak to them too loud, you're going to ruin their whatever. What do they call it, huh? Self-esteem? So if you raise your voice a little bit, we're raising a bunch of sissies. To where if anybody gets a little bit loud, they're like, like a vampire that's seen the sun the first time. Where'd men go? Where did real men go that have got a boldness of voice and a boldness of speech and that are willing to say what needs to be said? That ain't popular nowadays. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he corrects. Thank God for loving me. Thank God for loving me enough that when I ain't treating my wife the way that I'm supposed to be treating her, that the Holy Ghost comes to me and says, you better wake up, son, because my command to you was to love your wife as my son loves you. And you've been a knucklehead, and you've done some dumb things, but my son never turned his back on you. You better get back in there and give that woman a hug. The Lord, when he corrects me, or when he sends somebody to correct me, what he is revealing to me is his love for me. And many of us will not allow that to take place because we'll come up with excuses. Well, Jesus wouldn't say it like you said it. Give me a whip then and get some tables in here. Come on, give me a whip then. Let's bring some tables in here. What we got? A bunch of emotionally unstable today. It can't handle nothing. Amen. I'm just telling you, does that bug anybody else besides me? Does that bug you? Does that bug anybody besides me? I mean, men got the emotions of women. Unmature women. Like women in seventh or eighth grade, that's the worst time. Isn't it, Rick? You want to take over from here? The Lord corrects those that he loves. And I know this ain't popular out there. Probably a bunch of people out there watching going, you're not saying that. You're one of them. Get on Facebook and go, it sounds like he's preaching in anger to me. Wish you'd put that right there in chat in John. When Jesus walked in there with the whip, started whipping it on the floor and flipping over the money changers' tables and all that stuff. Verse 27, he's angry. For the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. My goodness. Let me tell you something. When you become a child of God, just get ready. You're going to get whooped. And if you ain't getting whooped, you ain't a child of God. I'm going to tell you that straight up. If there is not correction by the Holy Ghost in your life, it says he corrects his sons and his daughters. And we got a lot of people that are walking around. Let me just break it on down to you. Let me just cut NKV right here, New Kevin Version. Okay? Let me just break it on down to you. We got many people that are walking around calling themselves Christians. They spend absolutely no time with God whatsoever. All right? No time. Okay? They're living in ways that are displeasing to God, living in ways that are disobedient to God, yet they say they're Christians, and they're happy in life, going through life, everything's fine. Oh, I'm born again and saved. They're living in fornication, everything's fine, living in rebellion against God, everything is fine. Oh, I just can't wait till that glorious day when I go. The reason you're living in sin and you're comfortable in it is because you're not his child. The reason you can keep on treating your wife like garbage instead of treating her like Christ would teach you to treat the church. Keep on treating your husband like garbage. The reason we can I'm here to tell you, I don't care what anybody says. We can sit here and say, well, I hadn't learned that part yet. I'm going to tell you something. When you got a new heart that's been put in you by God, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be some things going. I ain't saying we're going to be perfect. I'm not saying that at all. But there's going to be some things in your life that just don't jive with the Spirit. If you're truly a child of God. All right, now watch. I'm going to show this to you. He says, if you endure chastening, if you what? Endure. It ain't fun. You're going to have to endure. Let me give you the NKV word of that. Suck it up. You're going to have to suck it up. It's going to be hard. You ain't going to enjoy it. Amen? Many of us are going to reject it. Many of us today, we ain't no different than the children of Israel. What did the children of Israel do? God goes and brings them out of the bondage of Egypt. And then all of a sudden, they get out there in the wilderness and things start getting a little hard. Instead of enduring to the promised land, they say, I want to go back to Egypt. Y'all didn't hear that. Instead of enduring through the promised land, they got thirsty a couple times, got hungry a couple times, you know, had a few battles, had some things to go. Instead of enduring through the promised land, they wanted to go back to Egypt. And that's how many of us are today. When correction comes into our life, when these things are brought into our life, instead of enduring through it, we want to go back to where we come from because that's the easiest thing to do. In other words, I want to go find somebody that I can talk to that's going to tell me the right things in order to comfort my flesh instead of crucifying my flesh. How do you know when it's a word from God? Because it's not going to comfort your flesh. It's going to crucify your flesh. It's not going to be usually what you want to hear. Amen? This word's for somebody today. This is for somebody. There's somebody here in this room right here that you're living exactly what I'm talking about. You're in the midst of this. You've been seeking advice. You've been drinking from the wrong well. And this advice that you get is wrapped in a whole bunch of Christian words, but it's the wisdom of man, it's demonic, and it's devilish. It's not from above. That's for this room right here. And it sounds good. It sounds good. But it goes against everything that the Word of God says. You're avoiding people. There's a people that you're avoiding under this wisdom that somebody's given you. That's not what the Word of God says. If you endure chastening, if you endure, God deals with you as a son. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? So I'm going to tell you something. He says, what? So let's just look at how our children are being raised today in the past probably 30 years. Most people don't bust their kids' butt anymore. They just let their kids just run slap ox wild. Over tearing stuff up, throwing stuff, kicking walls. And they're like, oh, ain't that cute? So this child grows up never receiving any boundaries or correction from a father that he can see. This child grows up thinking love is just letting him do whatever he wants to do. Come on now. This child grows up thinking that love is just letting me run wild, let me just tear stuff up, let me just destroy stuff, let me scream, let me yell, let me kick, let me fight, let me punch. This child grows up thinking this is what love is. Just letting me do whatever I want. Look at our teenagers today. So then all of a sudden, this child grows up where there's absolutely no rules, no boundaries, no regulations. So what is he going to look for in a church and in God? Because when this child grows up this way, he's not going to be able to obey his teachers at school, is he? Because you're going to have a bunch of kids at school who ain't been taught nothing, and they just run. My brother works in a public school. Brandon Richardson, where you at? Works in the public school. He's a principal. He's a coach. They tell me the stories about children that have been raised with no boundaries, no rules, no regulations, no nothing. And then when we send them off to school, they wreak havoc on the ones that are trying to help them. Am I right? Am I right? And then when they try to set up some rules and some boundaries, the parents that never taught them nothing show up at the school raising Cain. Why are you picking on my perfect little child? So now we raise them this way, and what ends up happening? If they can't receive any rules and boundaries from a parent that they can see, how are they going to receive them from a God that they can't? This is the society that we're breeding right now. It's been going on for years. We're just really reaping it. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. So what do? We grow up. My dad was my best friend. That's the problem. My mom was my best friend. That's the problem. So what do? We look for a God that has no rules, no regulations. And then we even preach that. He's not about rules. Read this. Thou shalt not fornicate. A rule. Let's go a step further. A command. Don't lie. A rule. So what do? Since we grew up with no boundaries, we cannot fathom a God that would lay boundaries, lay rules, and lay regulations out. That's not a God of love. Why? Because I never experienced the love of boundaries when I was growing up. Anytime anything went wrong, I was called a perfect little child, and it was somebody else's fault. My son should get to play. I mean, kids today don't even show up to practice, and parents show up griping. They should get to play as much as somebody else. Remember I told a lady one time, she goes, why don't my daughter get to play that much? I said, because she ain't no good. I mean, that mom went, I just told her straight up. I was coaching my daughter's basketball team. She's like, I can't believe my daughter ain't no good. And I said, and I ain't lying when I say this. You can ask my wife. I said, you know what this really reveals? I said, it don't reveal that your daughter's athletic ability is no good. It reveals your bad parenting because you can't ever have her at practice when she needs to be. And then she goes, again. She goes, you're supposed to be a pastor. I said, I am, Pastor Kevin. And then her husband, who had never been to a practice at all, he shows up at practice one day walking in there. I said, come here, me and you need to talk. I said, what you doing here? He goes, well, I just come up here to make sure. I said, I'm going to tell you something straight up. You ain't ever been to a practice before, so let's just me and you get this straight. If you walking in here thinking you're going to intimidate me, I said, this is my team. Get on over and sit down. Yes, sir. Don't make me be the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen. I know that would freak some people out, wouldn't it? Imagine, but I'll tell you what, I come out here to coach your children and to teach them something, not come out here and put up with all this garbage. You calling me 26 times every day, 26 times after every game, thinking that you're going to chew me out. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't get invited back next year either. Yeah. I'm still working some things out there. I remember one time, I'll tell you another story real quick. I'm telling off on myself here, right? Might want to kill these cameras I'm playing. But my daughter, Bailey, she was playing, man, and I'd always coached her in basketball all the way up and through, you know. And I mean, I was a coach, you know, I'm loud guy. Run, go, yeah, you know. So anyway, one day we was at this basketball game, and there was our coach got a technical called on him. All right? So I'm sitting over here, I'm across the court, and I'm watching it, and I'm listening to it. And the girls, I remember Bailey was standing there, and Bailey kind of, you know, when she was younger, she kind of nosy into everything, you know. I used to call her eyes, ears, and nose. And be like, what are you doing? Here comes eyes, ears, and nose. She want to know everything's going on. And so anyway, she's sitting there, and this coach, man, and all of a sudden, the coach is talking to the ref, and this other referee comes walking out. He walks down the sidelines over there, and he walks over, and he starts talking. I'm like, what's he doing? So I'm sitting there watching. All of a sudden, this technical's going on. They're discussing, and the girls are getting up, kind of moving around. And so Bailey and one of her little friends, they kind of walk on over there, and they ask the ref something. And when they ask him something, he turns and looks at him and goes, shut your mouth and go sit down now. Before he got the period at the end, boom, I was out, and I was halfway across that court. I heard the people, because there were some people that were behind me that used to know me, and I heard him go, uh-oh. And I headed across, and I'd been saved. I wasn't saved very long, but I'd been saved, amen? And I got across that court, and I got my finger in that boy's face, and I had him bent over backwards. I ain't going to tell you what I said to him. I didn't cuss him. I was very, very polite in the way of what I said that I was going to do to him. And he apologized. He didn't have an option. The other coach that was behind him screamed like a third-grade schoolgirl, goes, ah! He said, I'm calling the police. I was like, oh, man, I ain't been here in a while. So I like, go ahead and call them. I'm going to go ahead and exit my cell phone outside. Here I go. I'm thinking about this. I'm like, man, this is going to be on the front page of Wise County Messenger. Thank God our church is in Fort Worth, but it's still going to be on the front. So I get outside. My wife called me. She's like, don't you come back in here. So I'm standing outside. I got a blue jacket on, you know. And I can hear these cops. Man, you'd have thought somebody got shot up in there. These cop cars, I can hear them come, woo, woo, woo. And I see them coming. Now, okay, I ain't been that far removed from being a thug. So I still had a little wisdom in me, you know what I mean? And I'm like, all right, here come all them police. I ain't going to stand out here and advertise that I'm the one. I change clothes and get in my vehicle. Man, they blow by. Woo, woo, woo. Five cars. Clover gets on the phone. She's like, you need to go home. I said, baby, I'm already in paradise. She was in Bridgeport. I said, you're going to have to find your own ride, baby. I got home, shut the door, crawled into the house. I got chastened that day. The word of God judged me that day. I had to go back to that ref when I seen him, said, I apologize for threatening to, you know, do what I was going to do to you. Come a long way, baby. You want to hear some real funny stories, get some of Brandon's right there. Some of the kids he deals with. This guy, you got to be a marathon runner, chase down all the kids at his school, amen? He chased them down for like 4 hours, running around the whole school. I'm like, man, you got to be in shape. I didn't know you had to. So anyway, let's go on here. All right. But listen to this. I'm going to start finishing up here. I'm going to read this quick. Y'all getting anything out of this? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate, not sons. Wow, that's verse 9. Put that up. But if you're without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards, not sons. In other words, what he's saying, if we call ourselves Christians and believers, but we are without correction from the Lord, he says, you're illegitimate. The one who you say is your daddy is not your daddy at all. The one that you think saved you has not saved you. The one that you think you're going to spend eternity with ain't going to happen. He says, you're a bastard. He cast, no, the word of God says it. He says, if you are with, that's the best word right there. Thank you, Chris. He says, if you are without correction, you're fatherless. So you can walk around saying, I'm a Christian. God's my daddy. But if he's not correcting you, if you are not receiving the correction of the Lord into your life, the reason you're not receiving it is because he's not your daddy. You're headed to hell, just like Jesus said. He said, why do you reject me? Why do you not hear what I say? Because your daddy's the devil. Whew. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough. All right, let me read on. I'll finish up. Furthermore, we've had human fathers who corrected us. We paid them respect. In other words, see, but most of us today, our fathers have never really corrected us, never really showed us the right way. So we didn't pay them respect, so we don't know what it means to respect the father that we can't see. Does that make sense? Amen? All right, I'm reading quick, just giving you the outlines of it now. For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit that we may be partakers of his holiness. Why does he chastise us? Why does he correct us? Why does he scourge us? The word scourge means to beat. That we may be partakers of his holiness. I mean, he gonna break you. He gonna put you in line. Amen? So people that walk around saying they're born again and saved, I just don't understand that. They have no correction in their heart. They feel like they're never wrong. They don't feel like they need to make anything right. They don't feel like that they need to stop fornicating. They don't feel like they need to stop rebelling against their parents. They don't feel like that they need to stop being mean. Just whatever it is, unforgiveness, walking around pouting and hatred all the time. And walking around, you know, whatever it is. And you don't allow the word of God to, no desire to study God's word, no desire to spend time with God, no desire whatsoever. And he says here, he says, for they indeed, for it says now no chastening seems to be joyful, but for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who have been tried. What? So this chastisement, listen, when God sends somebody in your life or brings the word of God in your life to wear you out, that's when you ought to be thanking God. When God sends somebody in your life that cares about you enough, that's willing to say what needs to be said instead of what you want to hear, you ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank God. Why? Because it's not fun. Me and Reggie have been through many of these, is it, Reggie? It ain't fun. Matter of fact, the Bible says it. It ain't fun. It ain't joyful. You ain't gonna like it, but it's got a purpose. It's got a purpose. It's got a purpose. What is that purpose? To bring about the peaceable fruits of righteousness. You want to be, you want to walk in the peaceable fruits of righteousness, you're going to have to go through some scourging. We want the peace without relenting what we have. He says right here, yeah, this time it ain't fun. I know the Lord's got me in some places, and we want to walk around today, and when we start feeling that heaviness, that correction from God, we want to start rebuking it. You know, we do something that's really, really stupid, and we feel bad about it. We want to start rebuking that. No, that's the Lord. We want to start rebuking it. We want to be able to sin and feel absolutely no, I know we're going to use the word guilt. I'm going to use the word guilt and shame here, and I know this is going to freak some people out. But we want to be able to live in sin but feel absolutely no guilt or shame of it. We just want to be able to live in sin and then say, Lord, forgive me, and just keep on going. No, he says, this time of correction, it ain't joyful. He said, it ain't fun. You ain't going to like it. But he says, it's got a purpose to bring about the peaceable fruits of righteousness. You need to hear this, church. See, that's why a lot of folk ain't going to like me. A lot of folk don't like me. A lot of folk don't like my brother. Sorry. They don't. Y'all may all love him right now when he gets up here and prays and all that. Hang out with him for a little while. He's going to yank some stuff out of your life, and then you're going to be like, ooh, he seems so different at church. Seems so different when he's over praising the Lord. But I rode to San Antonio with him the other day. He was kind of hard. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. No chastening seemed to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruits of righteousness to those who have been trained, trained by it. Whew. I've had the Lord get on me and not get off. Kind of like training a horse. I know with an old horse, and we'll finish up on one more, and I know y'all like, would he finish up? Well, I know on a horse, man, when I used to deal with horses, some of y'all have heard me say this before, but a horse that won't neck rein or leg rein, one of the things that we used to do is if I had a horse that threw its head a bunch, started throwing his head around, I put a bit in his mouth, and I'd set that bit right behind his back teeth where it just made him smile just a little bit. And then that horse, when he threw his head, what I'd do is I'd be on that horse, and I'd put my spurs on, and I'd slide my hand all the way down by that bit. I'd reach down and grab it. I used to do these with Bailey's horses. And when he'd sling his head, I'd grab that head, and I'd pull it around to my knee. I'd bend his head all the way around. And what it'd do when I bent that head all the way around, not only did it bend his head, he can only go where his head is, so that caused him to start going in a circle. But what it'd do, it caused him to bend, and it exposed these ribs on his side, and I'd take that spur, and I'd gut him. Pow! I mean, you'd sound like you'd busting a cantaloupe open. Boom! And sometimes that horse would go, mm. And I'd get that spur. Pow! I'd gut him again. Then I'd let his head go. He starts slinging that head again. Boom! Gut him. Then after a while, that horse started figuring out. He was trained. He said, it's a lot easier when I feel that rein touch the left side of my neck to just go to the right. Because he knew what was coming if he didn't. So then that horse would get to where used to, I'd have to pull him like this, but after I gutted him a few times, Joe, that rein could touch the left side of his neck. He'd be like, I'm going this way. I touched the right and boom, he's going this way. And then after a while, I'd get to where you could just put pressure and he could feel it with your legs. He'd been trained. That's what God wants to do to us. We're going to get gutted a few times, but he wants to get us to the place that when we just feel the slightest nudge of the Holy Ghost, that's the way that we go. Amen? Amen? All right, now, we'll finish up here. Therefore, finishing up here for real, y'all. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Now listen to this. How many, anybody in here ever had a dislocated shoulder? Anybody? You have, Robbie? All right. Dislocated shoulder. Anybody in here ever had a dislocated joint? Not a shoulder, maybe a hip. Maybe, what was it? Finger. How'd you know it was dislocated? How else did you know? Before you even looked at it, what caused you to look at it? The pain, right? All of a sudden, the pain, you're like, ah, and you're like, ah. It's going like this, you know? So the pain was your body's way of letting you know that something was wrong, right? The pain in your shoulder was your body's way of letting you know that something's wrong. Amen? So what happened? The pain causes me to look at that shoulder, and because of the pain, I know that something's wrong, but I felt the pain before I ever noticed the finger was crooked. It's the pain that caused me to look at the finger. It's the pain that I feel in my heart that should cause me to look at my life. If you don't feel that pain in your heart, something ain't right. Does that make sense? So let's look at it this way. So what happens, it's the pain that I feel that causes me to look at my joint, to look at my shoulder, to look at my hand, to look at whatever it is. Amen? And when I look at it, it's that pain that says what? The signal goes from the brain to there. It says, something's wrong here. I need to go to the doctor. And then guess what happens? You go to that doctor, let me see your arm, Reggie. And guess what hurts even worse than when you dislocated it? Doesn't it? That hurts even worse, doesn't it? When that doctor starts grabbing hold of that little old pinky finger, starts going, it's going to hurt for a second. Pow! Oh, Jesus! But then again, it's instant relief too at the same time, isn't it? But it's sore. If you got the Spirit of God, that's how He works in your life. See, when something gets into my heart that's out of place, that is not of God, when it's sin, how do I know this? There's a pain in my heart that's not pleasing to God and not pleasing to me. And now that I feel the pain, it causes me to step back and examine and say, what's going on here? Amen? And then once I recognize what's going on, Jesus said, a well man don't need a physician. He's called Jehovah Rophika, the great physician. Amen? Now I go to Jesus, and guess what? This time of correction, it's not joyful. It's not fun. You know why? Because the joint's being pow, reset. Our heart is being reset back on Him. That makes sense? So here is the deal. One of two things is going on. Church in here, church out there, wherever this is going, we got to wake up and we got to realize that we serve a God that corrects us, that rebukes us, and that convicts us. And if you've never sensed that correction nor that rebuke, that chastening, it's probably because you ain't His child. That's what the Bible says. Didn't I just read that a while ago? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you are truly a child of God, I don't even get to skip a day of reading God's word without conviction.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to be straight up with you on that. I mean, me and my wife be going down the road, and I'll tell her, I say, I ain't read the word today. I got to find some time to read the word. I go without praying. I'm like, I ain't praying. You call that religious, you call that religion, you call it whatever it will. But what would my wife say if I didn't spend time with her on a daily basis? If I just walk into my house, and sometimes I do it, had a long day, whatever it is, and if I just walk into my house and I set my bag down and I walk right by my wife, you know what my wife would say? She'll say, hey, you gonna say hello? You gonna give me a kiss? I'm like, oh, baby, I'm sorry. Conviction. When I get up and start my day and I don't find time with God, Holy Ghost going, hey, 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 hey. Hey, hey, hey. 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 And there's some of us that we go months and months and months without ever feeling the nudge of the Spirit of God saying, spend some time with me, yet this is the one you say that you got a relationship with. We go months without reading the word, weeks without reading the word, without prayer. Yes, we go to church and we do all those religious things. But we go day after day after day and week after week after week without spending any time with him. And we never even feel the nudging of him saying, hello, what about me? Why do you not feel that? Why? Why? Maybe you ain't married. I know in my life, I feel it. Stand up. Ask yourself that, church. Ask yourself that, church. People, ask yourself. Those out there, ask yourself. And I know people are going to come back and they're going to say, well, Brother Kevin, reading the Word of God don't make you a Christian. No, I read the Word of God because I am a Christian.
That's it.
See, spending time with me, see, well, that's kind of a weird scenario, but I spend my time with my wife because I am married to her.
Wow.
That makes sense? Spend time with my wife. Why do you think my wife, check this out, I'm just going to say something. This makes, and I'm not bragging on my wife, I am a little bit. But you know how many birthdays and how many anniversaries that me and my wife have spent inside prisons? Gone, whatever it is. And you know, and my wife, she can't go every time because we got Bethany at home still and all this stuff. She can't go every time. But you know why she goes? And it's not because she loves going into prison and is called to go into prison ministry. That's not even it. This is going to blow your mind. You know why she goes? Hang out with me. That's why she goes. To hang out with me. Now, can you believe that? To believe it or not, I'm not always the easiest going guy in the world. I'm pretty headstrong. I'm pretty like, I got to go to the bathroom. I'm like, we ain't got time to go to the bathroom. Get all that stuff done before we leave the house. We'll stop in 6 hours. 6 hours. Can I have a drink of water? No, because it's going to make you have to go to the bathroom. Men, can I get a witness? But she goes because she likes to hang out with me. Because actually, believe it or not, we have a good time together, me and her. She likes to talk to me. And when I'm not talking to her, she says, why ain't you talking? Because I ain't got nothing to say. Why ain't you talking? She goes, well, because you ain't said nothing. And then you just start talking about goofy stuff. I like your eyeshadow. Don't tell nobody that. But we just like to hang out together. But we got a relationship. We got a relationship. She goes into prisons with me, not because she's called to prison ministry, but because I am.
Yes.
We're one. My wife, I know that no matter what, that woman's going to stand behind my back. No matter what comes against this church, no matter what comes against me, she's going to stand behind my back.
Come on.
And you know what she knows? You know what she knows? She knows I'm going to stand behind hers. Even if she's wrong, she knows, my wife knows that somebody messes with her, there's going to be some blood spilt. Just that simple. She knows that. She knows that. I may not be perfect, but one of the ways that I show my love is by protecting and by, and I don't know, that's just the way I feel, that's just the way I am, that's just the way God made me, you know what I mean? I know a lot of folk out there think, oh, well, I just don't, well, okay, that's fine, that's the way I am. But my wife hangs out with me because she just simply likes me. You know why I hang out with Jesus? You know, I want to read his word. You know, when I'm gone a few days, I'm like, man, I need to get home and see my wife. When I ain't read Jesus' word in a few days, I ain't spent time with him in prayer in a few, if I've done that. And I don't do that very often. I ain't going to say a day or two don't slip by here every now and again. But the Holy Ghost is saying, hey, Jesus is saying, hey, I want to spend some time with my bride. When's the last time you felt that? Because if you hadn't, now how do you see? And don't wait on that either. See, that's what you can't wait on that. Because if that's what you're waiting on, it ain't gonna happen. Not always. Sometimes it does with some people. But what you gotta do is you gotta start feeding on God's word now. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. It says that if you will draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. So what is my job? My job is to spend time, and here's what I'll find out. As I start spending time with him on a regular basis, when I don't spend time with him, he'll be there to go, psst, hey, where you at? Where you at? Where you at? And the longer you ignore that voice, the quieter it gets. Until you get to a place to where you've not studied God's word. And I will guarantee you, I'm not saying just in this church. If I was a betting man, I'd make this bet. I would make this bet. And I would be a multi-billionaire. I will make this bet boldly. I will proclaim it boldly. I would say that 85% of the people that are in church on a regular basis. I'm not talking about just here. I'm talking about church in the world, church everywhere. I would be willing to bet 85% of them go more days in the week without spending time with God than days in the week that they do. I'd be willing to bet that that same 85% that call themselves Christians don't even spend 10 minutes a day reading God's word or in prayer. I'd be willing to make that bet. I would lay everything I got on the line, and I know I'd be able to pay all my debt off because I would win. I guarantee you I would win. I know it. Ain't nobody gonna shake their head. But it would be a sad deal if the only time I ever hung out with my wife was in prison.
Wow.
And it'd be a sad deal if the only time that you ever hang out with Jesus is on Sunday service. Make sense? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your word. I believe I ministered exactly what you laid on my heart to minister, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray that the people here today be encouraged, because I think that we've lost sight of what being encouraged is. That the enemy will come up and whisper in our ear and say, oh, that was condemnation, that was condemnation. If you feel it is condemnation, it might be conviction, because maybe you're one of the ones that's not allowing the Spirit of God to correct you. And so our escape route is to say, it's condemnation. But Lord, let them not see this as condemnation. Let them see this as exhortation. That, Lord, that I'm exhorting the body to become obedient to God. That I'm exhorting the body to pray to God and spend time with God. That I'm exhorting and encouraging the body to don't just get comfortable in the status quo. To where I'm exhorting the body to say there's more to my walk with God. There's more to this relationship than just a profession. I exhort this body and I charge this body to become students of the Word of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. We love y'all. We'll see you Thursday night. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, everybody stop. Come here, mama. Come on, girl. Y'all encourage her.